ISKCON BBT founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Prem Sekho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gauda Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Sri Mayapur Dham Ki. Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki. Gangamaya Yamunamaya Ki. Atra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki. Brihad Murdanga Ki. Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Gauda Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, Chapter 4, Texts 7 and 8. We'll do 8 together. Okay, we're doing text 9. So before I start, I'm just going to recite a short glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Srimad Bhagavat Mahimastotram prayers by Srila Sanatan Goswami. If you know them, please follow. Sarva Shastrabdi Piyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhantaratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabho, Kalidvantodita Ditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pathaya Premavarshyaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madikabando Matsangin Madguru Man Mahadana Manastaraka Madbhagya Mad Anandana Mostite. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadu saduta dayin atinis chos tatakara hanamuncha kadachin mam premna hritkantayospura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and voice with pure love. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, please repeat. Tasmin maha bhagavato Dvaipayana Suhrit Sakha Lokan Anucharan Siddha Asasada Yadrishaya Tasmin Mahabhagavato Dvaipayana Suhrit Sakha Lokan anucharan siddha asasada yadrishaya Tasmin Mahabhagavato Vipayana Suhritsaka Lokan Anucharan Siddha Asasada Yadritschaya Tasmin Mahabhagavato Dvaipayana Suhritsaka Lokan Anucharan Siddha Asasadha Yadritschaya. Matijis. Tasmin then Mahabhagavataha, a great devotee of the Lord, Dvaipayana, of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, Suhrit, a well-wisher, Sakha, a friend, Lokan, the three worlds, Anucharan, traveling, Siddhe, in that ashram, Asasadha, arrived, Yadvijaya, by his own perfect accord. Translation of purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. At that time, after traveling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, reached that spot out of his own perfect accord. Please repeat. At that time, after traveling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord, and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, reached that spot out of his own perfect accord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Maitreya was one of the disciples of Maharshi Parashara, the father of Vyasadeva. Thus, Vyasadeva and Maitreya were friends and mutual well-wishers. By some fortunate accident, Maitreya reached the place where Lord Sri Krishna was resting. To meet the Lord is not an ordinary incident. Maitreya was a great sage and a learned scholar, philosopher, but not a pure devotee of the Lord. And therefore, his meeting with the Lord at that time may have been due to agyata sukriti, or some unknown devotional service. Pure devotees always engage in pure devotional activities, and therefore their meeting with the Lord is natural. But when those who are not up to that standard meet the Lord, it is due to the unforeseen fortune of accidental devotional service. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangtang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Krishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauda Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to start by just humbly requesting the blessings of all the devotees, especially Srila Prabhupada's disciples, like may speak something very enlivening and in line with the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta as passed down to us by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I'll just read the verse one more time. Translation. At that time, after traveling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaipaya Vyas, reached that spot out of his own perfect accord. So, in the purport, we're introduced to this concept of something called sukriti, which is like benefit that we derive from spiritual activities. And specifically, agyata sukriti, which means benefit that's derived unknowingly. And I remember reading in Srila Prabhupada's books in a purport that Prabhupada was talking about how a conditioned soul that's completely engrossed in the material world and the modes of nature, actually there's no karmic activity that can be done that can result in bhakti, because all karmic activities result in further karmic reactions, whether it's pious or impious. The karmic activity just results in further karmic activity. So then the question comes, well, how does one actually come to devotional service? And I read this purport, it was probably 2 years ago that I read this, but it struck me when I read it, and I remember Prabhupada explained that when one becomes more sattvic, or in the mode of goodness, and the more pious one becomes by doing, you know, pious karmic activities, one quality that is developed is to be charitable. And they start giving charity to different causes, and eventually what can happen is they will give charity unknowingly to a devotee or to the devotees. And by giving to the devotees, that will eventually result in further engagement in association with devotees and engagement in devotional service. And this actually can only happen by the causeless mercy of the Lord. And I remember, correct me if I misquote, but I remember reading Srila Prabhupada explaining how those souls who come to devotional service, the conditioned souls, are chosen. I remember he used this word, chosen. Just by the causeless mercy of the Lord, certain souls are chosen and just get the mercy, and they begin to engage in devotional service, and they begin to also, in serving the Lord, share Krishna consciousness with others. And so this gives a little insight into the potency of Krishna consciousness and everything in connection with Krishna. Like, of course, Krishna's holy name, his transcendental prasadam. And it also is very encouraging, as at least aspiring devotees, when we're chanting and trying to become devotees, how much effect that has outside, beyond us, in the world. And so we're doing Harinam Sankirtan on a daily basis, and when we hear this, it's very encouraging and enlivening to know that so many people, we were at the pier yesterday, and it was really packed. There was people everywhere. And, you know, some people dance, some people approach the Harinam, where we have books available, and they spontaneously are attracted to Prabhupada's books. Some feel inspired spontaneously to give donations. Sometimes they give a donation and the devotees are very eager to give them a book, but they don't want the book. And they walk away. But them just giving that donation, which seems like such a insignificant thing, $1 or 25 cents, sometimes people just put whatever couple pennies they have in their pocket in the donation basket, they get agyata sukriti. And if it doesn't fructify sooner, it will later. If not in this life, then in later lives. It will result in them coming in contact with devotees and eventually engaging in devotional service, which is the greatest gift that you can give anyone. And also, not only that, but all the people who are there who apparently don't respond or react to the holy name are getting this agyata sukriti by hearing the sound vibration, especially when chanted by sincere devotees. So that's very encouraging for us. And it's nice to understand this concept of agyata sukriti. And it also will, as we understand this, it can increase our own gratitude for devotees. If we have come to Krishna consciousness later, like maybe we're in our teens or later in life, we grew up in a non-devotional situation, we can reflect on our experience and really appreciate the devotees and Srila Prabhupada's movement, really appreciate Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's books, everything that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and how we've been saved from complete ignorant material life. So there's a lot we can take from just understanding agyata sukriti. Also, I was reading the two verses before this. You know, we're hearing the chapter is Vidura approaches Maitreya. And we're having a daily Bhagavad Gita reading in the ashram. And we had a nice discussion yesterday on one particular verse. I'll just share it. This verse where Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. Karpanya dosyo pahata swapava prishami twam dharma samuda chetaha yastreyas yanishtitam bruhitan meshis yastehang shadimam twam prapanam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. I was reflecting on this verse. In a few texts before this one, the Lord's form is described. It's a really nice description. I'll just read the translation really quickly so we can hear it. Text 7. The Lord's body is blackish, but is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and very, very beautiful. His eyes are always peaceful, and they are reddish like the rising morning sun. I could immediately recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his four hands, different symbolic representations, and yellow silk garments. That was a nice verse. And I thought it was a nice example also that we hear that the bona fide forms of the Lord and his different incarnations always are mentioned in Scripture. So in this purport to Bhagavad Gita 2.7, I'll just read one little section of the purport. I have the wrong one. Anyway, the thing I was going to quote was how in this material world so many people try to create incarnations. And, you know, there's, you know, the circumstances of the yogis. They can meditate and develop mystic siddhis or perfections, powers. And they can do several different magical feats with that yogic power, but Prabhupada explains that especially in this time right now, yogis will meditate and develop some kind of mystic power and present it in such a way that they can fool people into thinking that they're God. And they use that to exploit the people. But he explains that actually these mystic perfections are still material. They really ultimately, anybody who can learn how to do this can do it. It's not, it has nothing to do with being on the spiritual platform. So people are doing this. And then, especially in India, people will do these kinds of things and then claim to be God. And they get the admiration of the people and they take their money or resources or whatever just for their own personal benefit. But in the purport of 2.7, at the very beginning I wanted to share, Prabhupada says, by nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step, there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. So, Prabhupada is explaining how in the material world itself is a source of perplexities for everyone. No one is exempt from that. So even if one does have mystic yogic powers, they are still faced with so many perplexities. whatever their assets are, everyone is perplexed. And so the tendency in the material world is to be very proud. In the 16th chapter, text 5, the qualities, the demoniac qualities, or the qualities of the more materialistic persons are described. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. So in the material world, we become very proud and arrogant. And because of this, in the material world, people will go so far as to actually claim to be God. But Prabhupada is saying, even if they do that and if they think that way, they're perplexed in so many ways. And we can see, actually, just while doing Sankirtan, a lot of people may have this complex, but they also don't appear to be so happy. Frustrated. And, you know, how situated in real knowledge can one be if they're frustrated? Especially these atheistic type of people are always frustrated. And so, in the 13th chapter, it's a nice group of verses. This is 13:8-12. This is Krishna explaining what real knowledge is. He says, humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So, the general idea of what is knowledge is challenged, or this is a very different conception. Krishna is saying real knowledge is humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance. So, this means that we can see in the material world, like, somebody may be a very erudite scholar or a professor and has so many credentials, but they'll teach a class and then they'll go outside and smoke cigarettes or eat meat. That's considered as violence. You know, killing someone and eating their flesh is violence. Here, we hear that real knowledge means nonviolence. And so much pride and addictions they may have. So, this verse is challenging what is real knowledge, really. Is information content of the material world real knowledge? And actually, this is answered in chapter 2. Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayar api drishton tas, tvanayas tatvadarshibihi. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So I also remember hearing Srila Prabhupada define intelligence one time as humility. And so that is because of being able to see the reality that I am a very insignificant part and parcel, spiritual part and parcel of the spirit whole, Krishna. So how insignificant, how many souls are there? You know, they say when you take darshan, it's not to come to see the Lord, but to be in such a way that the Lord sees you. I was reflecting on that one day, a few years ago, and I was thinking, you know, there's so many germs and bugs and living entities sometimes that come. And I was thinking, well, what really sets me apart or makes me any different than the soul inside of a germ's body? And I was thinking how, you know, our character, the way that we develop our character and our intention in approaching the Lord, you know, how important it is. So, when we're absorbed in material life and we're selfish for material enjoyment, we become proud and arrogant, and this will block us and prevent us from being able to approach a bona fide spiritual master, which is exactly how Krishna advises that we try to learn the truth. So this is analyzed also by Srila Prabhupada. He explains that there's two ways of acquiring knowledge, the ascending process and the descending. So when we use the ascending process, it's basically us figuring it out on our own, using our senses and using our own intelligence to understand. But the descending process is when we take knowledge from an authoritative source. If we're absorbed in materialistic state of mind, we can't do this properly because we're too puffed up and think that we know everything or think that we are God or something like that. And so then, actually, Prabhupada explains in the Beyond Birth and Death, this little section about this, and he says this ascending process is a great way to become frustrated because our faculties of our intelligence, our senses, which are also called knowledge-acquiring senses, are imperfect. So we become frustrated because this imperfect knowledge will have us run around in circles, as they say, around the absolute truth. So here we're hearing Vidura is also a perfect example of this this Vaishnav mood, with his Vaishnav humility, approaching bona fide spiritual master, approaching Uddhava. And Uddhava is referring him to Maitreya. And he's in a detached mood, which was one of the items listed as real knowledge, accepts what he says and acts. And this is also, Arjuna displays this and expresses this near the end of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever it is you tell me to do, I'm prepared to do, and I'm completely rejuvenated, and I feel completely better after hearing what you've told me, and I'm ready to act accordingly. This is the effect of genuinely receiving transcendental knowledge. But we will experience this proportionately to the mood that we approach in our hearing and in our approaching the bona fide spiritual master. And so we're hearing a really nice example of this. And Hare Krishna. It's already 8:30, so I'll stop here. If anyone would like, maybe we could hear one or two comments or questions. Is it anything? No? Okay. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Vanchakopatrubhischa kripa sinhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavrindaki.